Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now we got.
We got the tea and a theory. We got the tea and a theory. We got the tea, what? And a theory. We got the tea and a theory.
We're back.
We're back.
It's been 37 years.
It's been a while. We missed you.
We missed you
so much.
Wow. Hi. Welcome back to Tea and Theory, where we spill the tea.
Back it up with a theory.
Yes, we are your hosts, Cassandre.
And I'm Cornisha.
Yes. So like I said, girl, we're back.
Took a little break.
Just a tea. Y'all didn't even notice we was gone for real.
Exactly. We left y'all with, you know.
So much.
Stuff to review, yes. If you're new here.
Yes. You know what I mean? We left y'all some parting gifts. Mm-hmm. But now we're back with some new-ish. Man, I don't know why I did that. Wow.
Cute. I love it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But how are you doing?
Yeah, I am better than I was last week. Let's say that.
That's right.
You know, semester has ended. Mm. Finally, it finally unhinged me. Because the way it had me by my collarbone.
Yeah.
I was, it was terrible. Yeah. It's okay though. We have made it through. Sure. I got to go home this past weekend, see my goddaughter for her second birthday.
Yes. Happy belated.
Yes. So got to go see my baby, got to go see my best friend, got to go see my family. So that was good. Yeah. Came back so I could see some clients because the work does not stop. And, now I'm prepping to go back home, wrap some Christmas presents. I gotta make my little seafood stock for my gumbo today. So I am. We're good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm feeling good. Also went home, saw family. It's just been nice to like get a break. Mm-hmm. It's so nice for the semester to be wrapped up. I'm ready to go, y'all. I don't even know where I'm ready to go to, but I'm ready to go.
That's fair.
And so I'm glad that I'm free now. Looking forward to the holidays. I'll be hosting for the first time.
God, this is so cute.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie. People who host for the holidays, wow, y'all are strong. Y'all are so strong. Well, we are strong now.
You got it.
Looking forward to this, though.
Yes. Good. I look forward to hearing about it.
Yes.
After. Yes.
It's going to be great. But yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So moving on and moving into our icon of the week.
Yes.
So for this week, it is Miss Texas Tough herself. Miss Jasmine Crockett.
Yes.
So if you don't know, she is running for Texas Senate. Mm-hmm. And she's running for the Senate.
Yeah.
For the state of Texas. Let me correct that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is very important because, as we know, Texas has been a very red state for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine Crockett is someone that we have seen be very outspoken when it comes to politics, her treatment within those spaces, and really everything that comes along with that. And so for a lot of people in Texas, it kind of is a symbolism of hope to see someone different coming along, to see a Black woman deciding to put their hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Because that's not something we've seen recently either.
Yeah.
And so being able to see that, it's just a really good thing. It's a really nice thing. I am a fan of Jasmine Crockett. I do love her. I do appreciate her. So I'm excited to see a Black woman stepping in, wanting to do this because baby, I know that is not the job. That is not my ministry.
Yeah.
That is not the job for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we had a good conversation.
We did.
Jasmine Crockett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just the many feelings that can come about with, you know, politics and presentation, you know, intersections of identity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like work, because I agree. I think someone has to do the work, and I'm glad it's not me. And I do think that, like, Black women do deserve to be in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, like you said, we had a good conversation about it. Yeah. And she is someone that can bring about mm-hmm. a lot of different feelings mm-hmm. and opinions because of her very non-traditional way of going about things and non-traditional mm-hmm. way of presenting.
Yeah.
Which, like we talked about, it can teeter on, like, that unprofessionalism mm-hmm. or really just over familiarity, which can be a concern when we're thinking about politics. So like I said, we had a good conversation. Definitely would have been a good one to have on camera too. She's a very interesting candidate, but a very interesting candidate for a very interesting time. And I know one thing that I think one reason I have champion Jasmine so much is because as soon as she announced that she was running, I like looking at the comments of the video, so many people were in those comments talking about, oh, I'm not voting for her. Voting for, like, the other candidate is James Tallarico. And they're like, no, I'm voting for him. I'm not voting for her. And they just kind of dogpiled her. So it was just kind of a terrible thing to be able to witness and to see how this Black woman is like, yeah, this is something I want to do, and this is something I'm going to do. And the amount of people that just kind of wrote her off, without even giving her a chance to have a say, an opinion, anything. She hadn't even put out, like, her first campaign video. It really was just this is what I'm doing and I'm running. So I think that's part of the reason why I love Jasmine Crockett so much, aside from her being a Black woman doing this, is even in these spaces, no matter how qualified you are and no matter how good you are at your job, people are immediately ready to kind of just count the Black woman out.
And our conversation was mostly about kind of video her talking about, like, immigrants and, like, us needing immigrants, and then which I agree, but then it goes into this whole, like, well, we ain't picking cotton no more, and so basically insinuating, like, this is what immigrants are for.
And that's terrible.
And I feel like that comes about from, I don't want to say a lack of preparation, but I think my point was, like, sometimes when we maybe present as, like, in politics as trying to be relatable and trying to connect with our audience, sometimes when we get into that, like, I'm just going to speak how I speak everywhere, or so people know that I'm real everywhere, which I'm a fan of. I do this as well. But I feel like then sometimes we might slip up and say things that we maybe was reserved for a different room, right? Because as a politician, like, what you're saying is not just for the person in this room or for the people in this room. Everyone's going to get to see this, right? And so I feel like as politicians, despite the fact that I don't like the very rigid politician who is just like, it feels like we don't know who they are, and they just come to work and they are just very strict or there's no real personality. I feel like there has to be, like, I don't want my pendulum to swing from strict to laissez-faire and, like, I'm just say how it is, however, because as a politician, you are serving everyone. So you need to be able to come across as a person who can get across to everyone. And so sometimes when we talk in a way that's, like, maybe over familiar with everyone, our point might not get across how we want it to. And so I think it's like this big pendulum swing. There we go. From, like, I don't know, how politics used to be to now, like, everyone just saying however, because Jasmine is not the only person who's doing this. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? It's Donald Trump. It's Carolyn Leavitt. Like, Donald Trump got on that plane and told that reporter, quiet, piggy. My politician. My politician. Mind you, I don't really have no, I don't really have no standards for Trump. But the thing is, I should. I feel like as for my politician, I expect some sort of standard. There's a
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Level of we can joke and be cute, but hold on. We talk about the law. We talk about stuff that will impact people's livelihoods. Mm-hmm. We are talking, you know, so I just need y'all to
find your balance.
Find the middle.
Amen. Yeah.
So I love it. I want to be able to digest what my politician is saying, but find the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Find the middle. What's that other man? There's another man who be on there talk about his peers are dumb. And you're not the dumbest person, but you better hope he doesn't die.
Lord.
Hey, I don't know. Like, that was so, like, I'll kiki for a little bit about it, and then I'll be like, mind you, this is my politician.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Yeah.
In the middle, please. No more pendulum. Just...
Yeah.
In the middle.
Yeah, being able to find that balance in what you're doing. Because I agree. Like, you can be relatable, and you can be... You can... Like what we do here. We're able to talk about research, and we're talking about it in a way that's digestible.
Yeah.
That we're able to connect with an audience.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can say whatever, whenever, at any point. And I like the word you use, standards.
Yes.
Like, there are standards. Yes. There are rules in place. There are expectations in place for certain things.
Yes.
So being able to find that balance and find that middle ground.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm relatable.
Yeah.
But I'm still showing up in this space.
Yes.
How, you know, people that are voting for me are expecting me to show up.
Like, I'm still at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I think you made a great point where you were talking about, like, professionalism being something that is, like, wielded against, like, Black people, Black women. And I agree. And I think that's why this conversation sucks.
Yeah.
Is because I want to have standards for my Jasmine Crockett. Yeah. But I know that when I say I want standards for my Jasmine Crockett, someone's going to take that bit and run with it and say that Jasmine is unprofessional.
Yeah.
She's ghetto. She's this and she's that. And that's not what I said.
Exactly.
Because if you want to talk about ghetto and don't know how to work and just show up and shouldn't be in a position,
that man,
I have a list. I have a list. And we starting at the top. Okay, we coming down. Hello? That man had told that reporter, shut up, Piggy.
Child.
Oh, God.
And the way that I've tuned out so much of his updates and news that I didn't even know about this piece because I can't anymore. I can't.
Obama came out in a cream suit for Easter Sunday.
Girl. Go interact with kids, his babies, shake hands like a normal president would do.
He came out and saluted that dead veteran or army person who had passed away.
And even as he is not president now, during Veterans Day, hopped on that flight of veterans to greet them. They said this is the first time a president has done that ever. But mind you, he ain't the president now.
No, he ain't. Yeah, I was dragging him, but that man done told that lady, shut up. But girl, okay, let's move on. Because
we'll be here all day.
And
mind you, this ain't even the topic of the day.
It's not even the topic of the day. But like, literally, guys, what the heck?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I'm sick.
Yeah, no.
Stick to my stomach, fam.
Moral of the story, our pendulums have been swinging for a while. We went one way and then we went completely the other way, and we're due for a middle ground at some point.
I need a middle. Please, 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 I'm begging. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. So, girl, what's...
So, go out there, Jasmine. You're inspiring the masses, diva.
Yes. No, we are glad that you are doing this. Because, again, baby, somebody has to do it.
It won't be me.
It won't be me.
No.
But I will vote for you.
Yeah.
I will go out to the polls.
Yes.
That is... And tell people... I will tell people to do the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes.
But yes. Ciao.
What's our topic for the week, girl?
Our topic for the week is actually a one, Dr. Simone, from Married to Medicine, and her family. Step to the front. I'm so sorry to do this. So, if you haven't seen, on the latest episode of Married to Medicine, Dr. Simone is, you know, okay, so I'll set the scene. So Married to Medicine is a show about folks who are kind of, who are doctors, married, or have been married to a doctor, but it's centered on Black women, right? And so Dr. Simone in this show, very successful. Mama is a board certified OBGYN in Atlanta, Georgia. It's literally the mecca for like Black success. It's so tea. Anyways, so obviously owns her own practice, I believe. Very successful. And so she's having dinner with her family. And so this is, this includes like her, her husband and her two sons, both of which are in their 20s. One of them recently graduated college. Boom. So they're at dinner and she brings up the topic, or I think the conversation starts with her son kind of talking about his Jeep and how he wants to upgrade it. And he wants to get a Tesla. And so she's like, well, yeah, you know, you have had your car. She agrees. Like, you've had your car for a little bit, you know, bought you the Jeep. And yeah, but I'm thinking in you trying to get this new car, we're trying to figure out if you're going to be able to make any payments on this new car. Not a crazy statement to say. So we get into a conversation about their son's spending, you know, obviously him buying his new car and being responsible for the payments, the plans for Michael, the son who wants the new car. He's 23 years old to pay for law school because he wants to go to law school. And she, like, how is he going to afford law school without her paying? Because she has paid for all their schooling. She pays for their housing. She pays for basically everything, right? On top of him wanting this new car. So she then says, well, you know, I have been looking at, you know, the numbers. I've been crunching numbers, looking at the budgets. And before we even go any further, he responds, make sure whatever it is you bring me doesn't cause me to take the pasta off your plate and feed it to the gods. Feed it to the dogs. My God, today.
Mind you, this is supposed to be a nice little family dinner. We're having a normal conversation about finances and budgeting. And am I going to, who going to pay for this car that you're wanting? And will you be able to make payments? And your response to your mother.
Mother.
Your, this is your mother who has paid for everything, has fed you, clothed you, gave you a good life. Look, I'm not in your house, but gave you a great life.
So you're in a big house. Yeah.
Feed her pasta to the dogs.
Make sure whatever it is you bring me doesn't cause me to take the pasta off your plate and feed it to the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
She laughs this off, by the way.
Yeah.
Cut the cameras.
Immediately.
I think the conversation should have ended right there. Right, she should have said, y'all don't even need to see this. And because it's only going to go down from here.
Oh, yeah. And not even she needed to say, Cecil.
Her husband.
Cecil needed to open his mouth and say something.
Somebody should have said something.
Even the other brother, shoot, could have been like, you out of pocket, my boy.
I wish I could go back in time and appear suddenly in that scene and go, hello?
Cut the camera.
Are you talking to your mother? Guys, cut the cameras. This is obviously not TV.
Immediately. Because what?
But unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. So, she's talking about crunching the numbers. So you're like, what? I wonder what she crunched.
Yeah.
She brings in this budget. Michael has spent over $60,000 on her card.
60?
By himself. So there's also a brother next to him, his older brother. This does not account him. This does not account for the husband sitting next to her. And this does not include Dr. Simone. $60,000. Guys,
and
so she doesn't specify the time frame, because as they're talking, like through editing, it sounds like she's saying over the year, but then in the confessional, it sounds like she's saying over a month. So it's either in the time frame of a month or a year. Either way, that's
wild.
A car.
Tuition.
That's tuition. That's literally a semester at Spelman College with some extra change. $60,000 on his mama card. Okay. Okay. So, all right. They move on. You know, when she asks him, like, you know, has he been thinking about how he'll be paid for law school? He responds, well, I do have a mother who makes pretty good money. So then she responds, well, she doesn't think that she should be paying for anything beyond the.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Roof over his head. And she's already paid for undergrad and she pays for everything else. So he needs to start thinking about, you know, what he wants to do. And so she has an MD, right? And so she shares about how she acquired this degree through scholarships and loans. And so he responds, well, that's because your mama couldn't do that for you. And that rich white kids have parents who pay for everything and they leave college debt free. And what about them? What about them who leave college debt free and are millionaires? Okay. So then, you know, they're arguing back and forth. One thing that stood out to me is near the end of the scene, she asks, who at this table cares that I work hard and that I'm looking to move towards retirement? No one responds. This includes Michael, her other son, and her husband. No one responds. Once again, could be editing, but she immediately says that. The room is immediately quiet. I'll say that. So then the scene really ends with a screaming match. She says she feels that they're entitled. He's upset. He's like, I don't want to talk about this no more. He's getting up to leave and she's like, I don't care. And so she ends up, you know, saying she feels they're entitled. She feels unsupported by her husband. She's tired of paying for everything. Dr. Simone, if I could just hold you.
Baby, big hug. Because what broke my heart is in that screaming match, what she says is like, essentially like, y'all do not care. Yeah. She's like, I have given everything I have to give.
Yep, everything.
And you could hear the pain in her voice as she is saying this.
Yep.
And how much she's just like, and then the other part of the conversation that got me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever she's saying, like, she's talking about the retirement, she's like, I could be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could die. I think it was before he gets to graduation or something like that. And her husband's just like, you could. That might be a part. That might happen.
Because you don't know.
Why is this that's the response we get? Yeah, I see why she out there yelling like she yelling. I understand. Because what? She's literally very visibly in pain.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all, please, like, somebody, anybody hear me, listen to me, please.
Yeah. Oh so Lord. Many things.
So many.
So immediately, what I thought about was, here go another strong black woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the vicious cycle of strong black womanhood. And even, I thought that that was a perfect example of the pros and the cons for strong black womanhood. Right? For your son to be able to rack up a $60,000 debt on a credit card, and you can pay it off. Mm-hmm. You can afford it. You are extremely successful. Mm-hmm. Right? And a lot of that was brought upon, or she was able to sustain herself through that, through being a strong black woman, through being independent, hyper independent, right? And that's that pro, right? As you're able to strive for excellence and to take care of everything and to reach great heights because of the strong black woman schema. Yeah. But then the con of that is what you pointed out, right? Is that it's dehumanizing, and that you yourself are struggling, and other people will not care that you're tired or that you need to retire. Mm-hmm. Because in response to I might drop dead, everyone's like, well, yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. That is a fact of life. Mm-hmm. She shared that she's tired and looking to retire, and no one really cared. Mm-mm. Right? And of course, we don't know what was going on in their minds, mm-hmm. but that is the harm of kind of upholding that strong Black woman schema, is that folks will dehumanize you. Mm-hmm. They will see you as something that works and continues to work and can continue to work regardless of whether or not you're tired. You've made it this far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been okay.
You've been okay
this whole time. You've done it. You've looked good doing it.
Yep.
So what do you need, baby?
Yeah.
You don't need help and support. You did this all on your own. You built this house by yourself. If it might start crumbling down, but it's not my job to help. The roof is still over my head.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the good pieces.
Yeah.
And you're giving me the good pieces because you want me to be cared for. You want to take care of me.
Yep.
So I see that your side looks a little funky.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I know you'll fix it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think what came up for me is, as a therapist, I always think about how, unfortunately, sometimes we play a part in our own suffering, right?
Yes.
And of course, we can point at her sons and her husband for not stepping up, mm-hmm. or for not caring for her in that moment. But there's also an aspect of caring for yourself.
Yes.
You also have to turn around and recognize, like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
you are 23 years old and you did rack up $60,000 on my card and I'm paying for your house, mm-hmm. and I'm paying for this new car that you want me to have, because she did go on and buy him that new Tesla that he wanted. Okay. I am doing all these things for you.
Yeah.
Like, I am playing a part in you responding to me this way.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so I think seeing that scene for me was incredibly important, because we do need to see all the sides of the strong Black woman schema.
Yes.
We need to see not only how it impacts her, but how it will tell others not to care for us.
Yes.
Because we do got it going on. Mm-hmm. She will sustain.
Yes. Yeah.
She will sustain.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll also be sustaining everyone else around her.
Yes.
And so you got it, girl. You'll be, I mean, sure, you're tired, you're screaming, girl. You'll be fine. It's whatever. Mm-hmm.
But literally the part that, and I'm so glad you brought this up, about how sometimes when we're working with clients, we have to tell them,
mm-hmm.
babes, you may be contributing to this cycle that you're in.
You are.
You may be a part of the problem.
Yeah.
As therapists, we are not yes men.
Mm-mm.
We come in and we have this fresh set of eyes that's helping us to see the different parts that you may be playing, mm-hmm. in what's happening. And part of our work is being able to point that out and to talk about it. And I think that's also the harder part, because sometimes we adore our clients.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to be a part of it. We want to be able to say, like, yeah,
no, it is everybody else.
It is everybody else. And it's like, no, it's not.
No.
And we play a part in these things too. And strong Black women are able to give off this, I don't need help.
Yep.
Because sometimes we tell people verbally, No, I got it. I don't need help. They offer help and we do not accept help. And so then we end up in this cycle, mm-hmm. of just this ever flowing, self-perpetuating, okay, I need help, but I don't want to ask for help. And now I'm really tired and everything's falling apart. So I'm gonna fix it. But I really would like some help to fix it. And I'm getting really tired. And we just keep going around in this circle, and we see how that's playing out in this house of, she's talking about how she put herself through medical school.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about how everybody around her is being sustained because, okay, you can take the card and spend the $60,000 and you're going to be fine and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And you've gone to school and now we're talking about law school. You're talking about getting another car. Mm-hmm. Stuff that's such a privilege that she's been able to build and be able to afford to do. But also while we're watching her sit there and like, okay, well, who's going to come to mind?
Yeah.
Who's going to come to my rescue?
Yeah. And I think it's really sad to see that happen, because I'm also thinking, but okay, on the flip side, mm-hmm. I think about how a lot of the current like strong Black women research that kind of asks the younger generation of Black women, mm-hmm. like about how they feel about the strong Black woman yeah. schema. So like the main theme that comes up is the redefinition yes. of the strong Black woman schema, which I think is so perfect because we need to be able to look up at the generation before us mm-hmm. and go, I don't know if I want that yeah. because I saw that scene. I immediately went, can't do
absolutely
it.
Not. Yeah.
I can't do it. Like I know that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important for us to be able to see that and recognize like, okay, I need to do something different because I don't want to be
yeah.
XY age and like having to tell people that I'm exhausted yeah. and I want to take a break mm-hmm. and no one responds to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to live in a home where my husband doesn't like respond to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
My son disrespecting me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a home where my sons just look at me as like a machine uh-huh. that just pumps out money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's so much more to their relationship, but in that scene, which unfortunately, like I recognize that it's a show, but this is a show that you've okayed off. Like that's a scene yeah. that you okayed off of mm-hmm. or okayed yeah. off. Right. So you allowed us to see that. And so based off of that scene, mm-hmm. I know that that's not what I want my life to look like.
Yeah.
And so I know that, okay, I have to go back and like redefine. I have to shift some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of the younger generation of Black women are shifting.
Yeah.
They are looking at, unfortunately, Dr. Simone's, who are extremely successful.
Yes.
They have great lives, but then are looking at everyone around them mm-hmm. or looking at how exhausted they are and thinking, I want to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thinking about doing something different, something that stood out to me
mm-hmm.
as I was watching that clip is, again, going back to the roles we play mm-hmm. and what's happening, but also thinking about your sons didn't get like this by chance.
Yikes.
I'm going to start this off by saying, no, I am not a parent. Have I worked with children? Yes. Am mm-hmm. I trained yeah. to work with children? Yes. So please know. My work is backed up, baby.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be a parent to have opinions on parenting. Just go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
But when I watch this clip, and of course, naturally, I'm going to run to the comments.
Yeah.
I got to run. I mean, you said, I got a first class flight to them comments because I'm like, what are people saying? And the first thing people are saying is like, oh, Simone deserved a daughter. They're like, she deserved a daughter. She did not deserve these. And I'm like, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Why do we
get
think
into it?
She deserved a daughter, right? And they feel like she deserves a daughter because they're like, oh, well, you know, girls are gonna, they're gonna appreciate this more and they're gonna take it. But why?
Why?
And it all goes back to how we're socializing our kids. How are mm-hmm. we parenting our kids?
Yep.
And this is for, hey, this ain't just for Simone. Mm-hmm. This is not just for Dr. Simone. Okay. Cecil.
Cecil.
I got all the smoke for you.
Oh.
This, you in it too. So when we're thinking about in the Black community mm-hmm. and how our community often views parenting, they have a saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your daughters, love your sons. Raise your daughters, love your sons.
Yeah.
And what that means is essentially you're going to teach your daughters all the things that they need to be doing. You're going to make sure they cook and clean and do everything. You get the reference.
Get out, bro. Get out.
But you're going to make sure they know how to cook, they clean, that they can do the basic things that they need to be able to take care of themselves, that they know how to socialize with others. They know how to get ahead in life. They are training and raising you to be strong Black women at some point. So when we think about how this is different for sons, when I was reading the research, the word coddling came up a lot, and it came up because it's easier to think about Black sons and imagine them as adults and like, okay, well, when you are a Black man, the world is going to see you as dangerous. They're going to be afraid of you. They are not going to treat you well.
Yeah.
But that same thing isn't afforded to the Black daughters. They're not viewing the Black daughters in that way.
Yeah.
And so there is this overcompensating that ends up happening of trying to, okay, well, the world is going to view you like this. Let me make your life as easy and as happy while you are here.
Yeah.
However, that then does a disservice to them as they grow older because they're not able to self-sustain. They're not self-sufficient. They're not the things that you were worried about teaching your daughter to do as you were raising her. Mm-hmm. You're not teaching your son to do. And this is why people are always like, oh, I want a girl because I want a boy because boys are easier to raise. They're not easier. You're just not raising them.
You're just not doing anything.
You're doing everything for them, but not teaching them the things. Yeah. And it's easier to do the thing for somebody than to teach them to do the thing. There's a whole reason why, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Like that's the reason it's the same.
Yeah. And the thing that you're teaching is not gendered. Like you're teaching them life skills.
Those are things
like learning how to cook. You're learning how to sustain yourself because you literally need to eat. Like teaching yourself to keep a clean space. Like that's not a thing that only women should know how to do.
No.
Don't men have to live places?
They got to live.
Shouldn't they be clean?
At some point they got to move out.
Yeah. Like, do you want your son to live in a pigsty with mold ever? Like that won't keep him healthy. Like these are life skills.
Yes. Basic life skills. And when I tell you, I used to be an RA in undergrad. My girls on our side, I ain't had no issues like we had with the boys. Every time a toaster, like every time the building had to be evacuated, it was because a toaster was set on fire and they got it out in the hall smoking. Like every time I had to go into the boys' rooms and do room checks, when I tell you I'm climbing over garbage.
Oh, well,
it was either that or the mothers coming to do the laundry. Like we have to really sit with this idea of there needs to be a redefinition of how parenting is happening with our Black boys.
Yes.
Because yes, I understand wanting to protect them in this world. I also understand wanting to protect Black girls in this world too, and they're not being afforded the same thing.
No.
So if we can raise our Black girls one way, we can raise our Black boys too. Yeah. We can make sure that there is a focus on both of them being able to take care of themselves and sustain in this world. And so when I think about Dr. Simone and Cecil and their children, I'm thinking about, okay, how has this been reinforced?
Yeah.
This didn't just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He didn't show up like this one day and was demanding everything and entitled and wanting everything. He was raised in this environment that reinforced that and wasn't focused on like certain skills and certain things. Yeah. And again, I'm not in their house.
Yeah.
I don't know what they've been doing every day, but being able to see how, not only in that clip, there's a follow-up clip of them doing a live and to see how he's even continuing to kind of double down on some of this. It came from somewhere.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to kind of own our things too.
And I'm thinking about a lot of like the overcorrection research in psychology, which really, it touches on exactly what you're talking about with overcompensation. It's kind of like you want to overcompensate or like go to the extremes to fix like mistakes or like perceived flaws, right? And I'm thinking as especially about her, Dr. Simone, talking about like her, for herself growing up, she had to go and get it out of mud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm thinking about for Black parents specifically who we have been disenfranchised, right? And so now getting to a place where, well, I do have access and my child does deserve this access, right? The pendulum then goes from we have nothing to, you know what, you can have everything, right? And so you do get access to it all. But how do we get that pendulum back to the middle? Because a lot of overcorrection means that there's rigidity. There's no flexibility in overcorrection, right? There's no like, okay, you get to have this, but hold on, there's boundaries with that. Or here are the limits, right? You don't get to talk to me like this. Mm-hmm. And then I buy you a Tesla on TV in front of millions. Okay. Hello? And in the research, they talk about how, you know, for overcorrection, there are a lot of side effects, right? There's a lot of anxiety that comes from that overcorrection, mm-hmm. because any kind of teetering onto, like, falling off of that overcorrection mm-hmm. causes anxiety, mm-hmm. stress, right? There's this lowered self-esteem and self-worth that comes out of overcorrecting because you have to be in this one space. Yeah. There's no space for mistakes because mm-hmm. you're trying to correct what you thought was wrong. And I'm imagining it's me growing up with not as many resources. Mm-hmm. So what does that say? That I do have the funds, but I don't allow my son to have this thing, mm-hmm. right? But then that also leads to that burnout and exhaustion, which we saw in that clip, right? Being exhausted by the fact that, like, I have to maintain this thing because you've been 23. For all these 23 years, you have gotten everything that you've asked for. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining as a parent, not having and then being able to, like, give that to your child means so much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the interpersonal conflicts of, well, now at 23, I'm trying to implement mm-hmm. some boundaries. But we never did that before.
Yeah.
So as much mm-hmm. as we want to call out her son's behavior, there's a reason why he responded that way. Because his response has been allowed. His mm-hmm. reactions have been the norm.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Right? And so then in thinking about managing this, mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, self-awareness mm-hmm. that needs to be practiced. Yes. There's a lot of mindfulness, right? Being able to ground ourselves so we're not automatically responding. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking, it is easy to remain stuck in that, but, like, and it's easy to talk about that overcorrection, but what do we do?
We're there?
Yes. Right? And so a lot of it talks about kind of having these kind of balanced perspectives, mm-hmm. right? And responses. And as much as people hate to hear it, a lot of that can be done in therapy, right? Having, like you said, the fresh set of eyes who can kind of point out what's happening, provide that insight, and then provide the skills mm-hmm. for you to then challenge this thing. Because, mm-hmm. I think Dr. Simone does deserve a break.
Yes, absolutely. Just because, and I remember when I used to work with kids mm-hmm. and we would work with the parents, one thing we would tell the parents is, you know, sometimes you're going to say a thing and maybe it's not the thing that you want to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe it hurts the kids' feelings. Maybe it's just like, oh, I messed up. I promised them a pony and I can't give them a pony. Yeah. Whatever it is. And we would always tell them, it's not the thing that you said. It's the thing you say after the thing you said. Mm-hmm. Which on one hand, it's like, yeah, we can apologize. But the other hand is like, sometimes I've raised you a certain way for so long and I'm recognizing that there needs to be a change.
Yeah.
There needs to be a course correction. So being able to set those boundaries mm-hmm. and recognize, like, I do recognize that this is how it's been for the past however many years.
Yeah.
But I'm wanting to make these changes because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Being able to talk about the things, explain the things, why the changes happen. And it doesn't mean that they don't react how you want them to. You can't control their reactions, but you can control how you are reacting and how you are responding and what you are doing. And like you said, it starts with that self-awareness mm-hmm. and recognizing, okay, if this isn't what I want, some steps have to be taken to get us there. And when somebody's been doing something for 23 years, it's going to be a few steps. Yeah. It's not going to be an easy process because, you know, we learn and we become accustomed to certain things.
Yeah.
And when we have to take what feels like a step back, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. And so, and thinking about, like, the overcompensation that you talked about, mm-hmm. it actually made me think about, I don't know if you saw, or we've talked about a little bit, but the conversation of the quarter zip taking over, right?
Yes.
And okay, so the whole quarter zip movement started out online by this creator who I'm blanking on his name. I think his name is Jason. But
we'll link it.
Yeah.
Put it up.
You'll get your creds.
Yeah.
Because it was cute. Mm-hmm. It started out like we're in quarter zips. And you know, he's very New York. We in quarter zips and we drinking matcha. And so the whole thing was, you know, we're leveling up, we're becoming grown men. We're not in the Nike Tex anymore. You know what I mean? Like we're leveling up and we're drinking matcha, we're elevating our taste. And so people were like, it's a car. Black men were like, hey.
Okay.
And I was like, hey,
running
why
to the stores.
Yeah. And then another group of black men picked it up and it became a little, we lost the plot.
Okay.
It started being we in quarter zips. Because, you know, we black men and we're not like them others. We're not angry and we're not violent. We're telling everybody we're not on that.
That's not what, okay.
Oh.
We were just wearing a quarter zips and looking.
I thought it was.
Looking fly and chilling and I'm going to drink matcha. And it can be a little.
You know,
okay.
But it became this thing where it's like, I am holding myself up against the YN trend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if folks don't know, it's the young N-word, right? Which are these kind of violent, crazy, aggressive young black boys, right? Which has taken off and I don't like because now every black boy that I see online, people are referring to them as YNs.
Immediately.
And I'm just like, okay, so that's a young black boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah. So he then talks about how like the quarter zip movement is about, you know, we're not violent, angry black men and da-da-da. And that overcompensation reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Right. This overcorrection, this kind of pendulum swing to the other side, took it from something wholesome to now is like, it's very rigid and it's something that, I don't know, doesn't allow people the space. Yeah. It's performative.
Yeah.
And it doesn't allow people the space to like move about. But once again, I think at the center of this overcorrection or overcompensation in both of the quarters of going left and Dr. Simone and her family is like trying so hard to navigate like being disenfranchised and trying so hard to make space and to be seen as good and experiencing good.
Yes.
And so once again, at its core, it's the system.
It is. It is all. It always goes back to the system.
It does.
Because black parents wouldn't be parenting the way that they did if it wasn't for the system. It wouldn't be raise your black daughters because also they're trying to protect us from the other things that are going to get us and love your black sons because on both ends of that spectrum, they're trying to protect and prepare you.
Yep.
But what are they protecting us from and preparing us for?
The system.
The system. The society that we exist in for the world to view young black girls at like they're viewing young black girls as promiscuous and fast and all these other things. And so to protect them, it's like, okay, no, we got to make sure you lock down. Everything is rigid.
Yep.
And on the other spectrum, they're like, well, black boys are going to be chastised.
Life will be hard, so.
Yeah. So we need to give you a soft life.
Yeah.
Babes. And so.
Not the young black man got the soft life.
The soft life. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And so at the core of that is black parents trying to take care of their kids and make sure that you are set up for the world that you're in.
Yeah.
But they're protecting you from this system that we inevitably are going to end up in.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a cycle, man.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, we are existing in a society that is not only racist, it is sexist, and it is colorist, and it is classist, and it's ableist. Like, it's all the isms, bro. And yeah, just trying to maintain and survive in that.
Yeah.
And even going further, I think back to Dr. Simone saying, well, I did it all on my own and did it all.
Yeah.
And her son saying, like, well, your mom couldn't do it, right? And what about the rich white kids who their parents pay for everything and they leave school being millionaires? And I remember sitting with that for a little bit because I even thought about, like, how, unfortunately, like, proximity to whiteness, proximity or trying to get to maybe the white American dream limits what success can look like so much. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that he has grown up with all these resources mm-hmm. and all he can think about in his success is being like other rich white kids. Mm. And that for me made me a little sad because I was like, dang, like you, that's unfortunately what success is to you is being like white people.
Yeah.
And how much like holding ourselves up to like whiteness limits us. Mm-hmm. I think back to the conversation, we keep talking about Afrofuturism, but like in thinking about what our future could look like, how important it is for us to like break free of what white society says success is. Because your success is your mama paying for everything and you leave school being a millionaire. Which, you're a millionaire and then...
And what comes next? And that's the thing. It's like, well, this is what the other kids are doing. They get to run around, be nepo babies, kind of do whatever. Yeah. Dad will give them the company at some point.
Yep.
And they'll run the company. They'll give it to their kids at some point. And what when he said that, what I thought about was like, you're not thinking about the generational wealth that some of these white kids do have.
Yeah.
They're not new to this.
Like Simone's the first, like she's the first rung on that ladder.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're understanding that, like, it was like grandpapa and then grandpapa.
And grandpapa. Money.
Like, yeah.
Throwing money down the ladder. Babes, all
you done
got
wasted 60K over the last year, baby. Yeah, we not gonna make it to the million.
Babes, you're not. What are we supposed to do? What's she gonna give you?
Where's she gonna give you? Hello.
Child. Ain't nothing gonna be left. After you get done with it, ain't nothing gonna be left.
No, like, because the thing that they not tell you is grandpapa was mad stingy.
Yeah.
When he was alive, it was nobody not, getting no money.
Was not playing.
Girl, grandpapa was like.
Was not playing. He said, look, you go get them Walmart t-shirts.
Yeah.
And we gonna call it a day.
Hello. And grandpapa was stealing from countries. He wasn't just being an OBGYN in Atlanta, Georgia.
Exactly.
He was destabilizing countries.
Exactly. Destabilizing countries. Stealing oil.
He discovered diamonds in South Africa.
Exactly. And now he has a mine. And this just reminded me of the Now You See It plot. But no.
It is not that. Your mama is working to the... Like, she is working. Girl, your mama is not mining for diamonds in Africa. She is not destabilizing countries.
She got to go see her clients.
Yeah, you are fighting up against criminals, girls.
Whole criminals.
We're not even going to get into the slavery aspect. Okay? And so when we aspire to... And I think that reminds me of how unrealistic it is to even aspire to be that.
Because
your mama just got in the game, Diva.
Child, you got to have the resources to be able to do the things. We can't get back generations and generations and generations of resources. Mm-mm. That's not a thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is think about, like, okay, what do I want this to look like for me? Yeah. What do I want my future to look like? And what role am I going to play in this?
Yeah.
And role can't be mama is going
to
make
it. Because mama can't, like, because if anything, mama needs to go back to maybe, like, the 1400s, which, you know what I mean? She wouldn't make it. But she needs to go steal some diamonds. She needs to go like colonize a country.
Exactly.
She needs to then own several slaves.
Yeah.
And then there are several times in the family line that someone has to be very stingy.
Yeah.
There's no $60,000 on a credit card being ran up. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So like you're up against alert.
Exactly. So these, you know, unrealistic expectations.
Unrealistic. Okay. So please, Lord, Dr. Simone.
Child.
Dr. Simone.
My heart.
Yeah, you are at war, Diva. which is, more than I could do.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. But, you know, it's good for us to be able to have these conversations young Black women because... Yeah, we get to choose. Oh my God. additional thought.
Yes.
You know what? I feel like seeing stuff like this is also, here's another pendulum swing, child. The dating.
Oh,
right? Because if we are in a dating pool, okay, so I even think about like strong Black women in the dating pool who then reach the point of exhaustion and then are like, I want a man who does everything for me and da-da-da-da-da. Then we get the sprinkle-sprinkle and transactional dating and soft life and trad wife stuff, which, who wins here? It's
scary out there.
Who wins, right? Yeah. But then, and it's because we're watching, like, the Black women before us, unfortunately, be strong Black women who are taking care of everybody, but then nobody takes care of them.
Yes.
Unless it is their daughters. Unfortunately, that's what the research says.
Because when you train them and you raise them to be strong Black women, you start to give them some of those responsibilities to take over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to get into the research about, you know, parents being in the homes and who comes to visit them when they're in the homes.
Chad.
And it usually being the daughter, not the son. Anyways, but like thinking about like how that impacts like Black women's dating lives.
Yes.
But I also think about like how it, once again, because it's such a rigid pendulum, so if like wanting to be this trad wife or like, I don't want to work no more, I want him to take care of everything, how then we lose our agency.
Yes.
And then it seems like the two options are, I'm the woman who does everything and I'm at the risk of being burned out, or I'm the girl who gets everything from her husband, but then I have no power.
Yes. And again, we just need to move these two into the middle. If we could just bring the two together, because the thing we're losing in all of that, right? Yeah. Is it's me. Where's the partnership?
Yeah.
Where's the partnership in the give and the take?
Mm-hmm.
I do some things, you do some things.
Yep.
You have these interests, you're good at this. I have these interests, I'm good at this. And we meet in the middle and we bring it together. And it doesn't have to be I'm doing everything for everybody. And it doesn't have to be that I don't do anything and he does everything and then I have no voice.
Yeah.
It can really be a partnership. You do some, I do some. We work together. We're a team.
Yeah.
Teamwork. Yeah. I like whenever I think about those, it's like it, all of that is getting lost. I even heard this conversation earlier where someone I follow on TikTok was talking about this with Dr. Simone and was talking about how she, a lot of people jumped to blaming the Black woman. They were, and she was like, ain't nobody talking about Cecil. Ain't nobody got no smoke for Cecil. I told you I got smoke for Cecil.
I have smoke for Cecil.
Like, and it goes back to, okay, because there's nobody's thinking about the partnership.
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about the fact that this is a two-person household, a two-parent household, two people are parenting. When we're in a relationship, there's two people in it.
Yep.
We both need to be doing some things, and it's so individualized. I remember you were talking about this before, how life in society is so individualized now, and we lose that aspect of being able to build community and build partnerships.
Yep.
And being able to build a community, we have to be able to build partnerships. To be able to build a partnership, you got to be able to build friendships and connect and relationships. And
was that?
Yes.
It all connects.
It all connects. So, yeah, I can understand why somebody is sitting there and is like, yeah, I don't want to be the person that's doing everything.
Yeah.
And I understand, it, like, personally, as the oldest daughter in a Black household, I get looked at. We get looked at.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot. And you come in, you like, I don't want to have to do nothing for nobody no more.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. What happens when we don't do things is we do lose our voices.
Yep.
And your voice is so important. Please don't lose your voice. Please don't. It's so important. We can find this middle ground. I just need, why is everything swinging on like this? We just come in the middle.
Let's get off the ride, right? Let's just stand.
Yes. Imagine we all have parachutes.
Jump. Yes. Just jump.
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 Let's go.
Because, yeah, like, it's like these very hard pendulum swings. And it's like, guys, can we please bring it to the middle?
Because, child, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm tired of going out there and trying to, child, I
Yeah.
Dating is scary.
Oof.
dating this kid. Don't nobody want to approach nobody no more. Don't nobody want to.
Please. The episode can be 30 hours long because.
Girl, look. Exactly.
But it's like, that is true. Like, in that. But at the same time, unfortunately, if this is the dating pool, it's young boys who their mama done pay for everything. Who, like, what else can you be but a strong black woman? But
but be a strong black woman for yourself.
Just be the strong black woman. Just be you. Do you, girl, because
baby, I can't. I'm not raising somebody's son for them. I'm not. And I ain't got no kids. I got a dog. That's my kid.
And I can't. And I feel like life be hard enough for you to be turning around and raising somebody who's already grown. Like, no. And then the craziest part is when we talk about Cecil, her husband, she, unfortunately, they have then gone on to recreate that for somebody else.
Yes.
They are going, they don't make, oh Lord, this ain't nice. I'm sorry. But they didn't went ahead and created two Cecils that will then go on and look for Dr. Simone.
Yes.
And then the whole thing continues.
The cycle just keeps going.
The thing, well, but this time Cecil will have his mama, Cecil Jr. will have his mama's credit card.
Yeah, so it is a little bit different. It's a little, but is he spending the credit card on the, or then seeing that's where we end up in a wormhole.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And things just keep going.
Yeah. But no, I think that's, wow, I feel like we always end up bringing things that we've talked about already right back because they're so connected.
They're so connected.
But yeah, I think it's that whole aspect of, and this might be a little far-fetched, but like the idea of how we center men.
Yes.
Right? And in centering men, it's the idea that like they're kind of up on this pedestal and they're allowed to just do so much more, because I think about the comments of people being like, she deserved a daughter would have never been able to talk to her like that.
Exactly.
A daughter would not, like, because she is a strong black woman who would then go on to raise a strong black woman, there would be so many different expectations for this daughter. And I feel like if you was gonna raise your daughter the same way, you didn't need the daughter.
Because
she deserved to be living carefree like he is. You know what I mean? But like in this centering men, we don't give them, there's no, what are the expectations set here?
Yes.
And beyond the college degree that's been paid for, right? Like, what are the expectations for him to go out and get it? Because, like, not everybody is going to respond to him like Dr. Simone. Not everybody's going to want to just give him the job.
No.
If he's going to law school, you can't, like, he's going to be competing against people who are hungry.
Getting out the mud.
Yeah, right? And so it's, like, beyond potentially, I'm sure she has so many connections in Atlanta, right? Like, beyond that, like, what does that say about his work ethic, his resilience? Like, these are all, like, life skills that he needs, not only in this in life and like building his life, but like at work.
Yes, like
he wants to be a lawyer.
Child, mind you, I'm your client.
I need my lawyer to be locked in.
Look, I need you to read these contracts. I need you to defend me. Whatever it is, whatever type of law you're practicing.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to lock in.
Like you gotta no scholarship. You ain't even look for a scholarship.
Child, you can't come in and be like, babes, I know this, I'm sure the contract is fine. Sign it. No.
Yeah,
now I've signed my life away. They're using my image and likeness everywhere. And now I'm broke.
Yeah, no. Please. You're just walking out, you on a billboard talking about
something. Hey, that I didn't even.
Yeah, because your lawyer don't got that dog in him. Backing up 60K on his mama card.
But you know? Can I read a quote from a participant? Because you said just brought it right back. So in the study that I read, one of the participants said, talking about kind of black men, essentially. Mm-hmm. She was like, first they were the little man. And then we put them on a pedestal. There was only one in our family growing up. That was her brother. Mm-hmm. So now I have one son. My sister has one son. And it's certain things that we do to them that end up creating a monster. And when they say a monster, what they were saying is like somebody that's unable to adequately care for themselves as an adult as a result of the pattern of caregiving that's been passed down in the family over and over and over and over again. Yeah. We have to do better by our young men, our young black men that are going to eventually, our young black boys that are eventually turn into young black men. Mm-hmm. We have to do better.
Yeah.
Because they can't be showing up in this world all willy-nilly. And I don't know how to go about life. And I don't know how, and setting toasters on fire and their residence hall. We can't. We're doing them, again, it's doing them a disservice to not be able to navigate in this world.
Yeah.
Despite how well-intentioned the loving and the caring and the coddling can be.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. You not send them up for success, unfortunately, because in your home, he is your little king.
Yes.
Unfortunately, in this world, he is not that. Mm-hmm. So he needs to have some kind of wherewithal where he could figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He needs some type of armor. Mm-hmm. And money, unfortunately, is not that. Well, for some people.
For some people.
It can get you very far, but it can't get you everywhere. All the way.
And especially not if we're black.
Not as a black man.
Yeah. Money don't save you.
Yeah. And black boys deserve... And I think in the conversation about like, girls being raised and boys being like loved, black boys deserve to be raised.
Yes.
Like they deserve to have life skills.
Yes.
They deserve to be loved, but black boys deserve to know how to sustain themselves without needing a partner.
Yeah.
Black boys deserve all the good things, and they deserve the clothes and the Teslas. They do.
Yes.
But they also need to learn how to get that for themselves. Yes. Why are you not teaching your horse to drink? Pause. I am not like, I'm not comparing black men to animals, but you know what I mean? I'm bringing in the analogy.
Yes. Okay? Yeah. You love remember you black I said men. It earlier.
Yes. Remember, please. I love you black men. Love you black boys. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, and I think that for me, it's a bit of a tough love. Yes. I feel like I look at black men as like brothers all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, love you down, but diva. But
you got to get it together. Like, please.
And I'm looking at the elders in the community like, you're not going to teach them this.
With anybody? No, because mind you, if it had been me.
Girl, like, you'd have pulled me up by my wig.
Child.
You need to teach that boy how to take care of himself.
Yes.
What kind of life is that where he always needs somebody else? He can't be alone because he don't know how to do his laundry. No, ma'am.
Yeah, and now he's in a relationship and he ain't happy and he don't like his wife.
But he got to stay because who else is going to cook the food? He don't know how to cook. Amen? Come on now. Let's raise the love and raise these black boys and love and raise these black girls.
Please.
Amen.
Please.
And those in between, the they, thems,
the they, thems. Yes.
Period.
Everybody. No,
everybody need to be loved and raised.
Yes.
So you're not on TV telling reporters, shut up, Piggy. Cause that's low key. What y'all are raising?
Girl.
Y'all give people access to money and no consequences.
Cause we saw how he flipped off the lies. After he said he got that Tesla, I'm sorry. I cut the cameras.
Cut the cameras. Mind you, in front of his mom. I slip up and I'll be about to say a curse word in front of my mom. I'll be like, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna lie. Talk about da 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 cuss word. Mama in the square right here.
Mind you, I'm 30. I'm a grown woman.
Grown.
I can say whatever I want. And I still cuss in front of my mama.
And I'd be about to, and I'd be like,
child, I still would be like, yeah, no, they said the F word.
I'd be telling my mom shiz and frick. Like, what the frick? Like, I'd be like, mom, you know, the shiz.
Yeah,
But
I could not fix my, and mind you, you used your whole finger.
Girl.
Your whole, it's being replayed. Child. No.
You didn't create. Well.
Well. Yeah.
Mm. Do you feel like you said all you needed to say?
I think so. I think we want this episode to end at some point. I do have to stop. What about you? I'm good. Okay.
Well, what is your tea?
Oh.
And can we help you with the theory?
Can we?
Send us your tea through our email, tntheorypodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can even send us a DM on Instagram at tntheorypodcast.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you can follow us on, you know, TikTok and Instagram at tntheorypodcast. Amen.
Go ahead.
All right.
Hit that like, hit that subscribe.
Go away.
Follow right now. Okay, you can unpause now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And as always, Quenisha will lead us in a brief meditation and some words of affirmation.
Hey, so I didn't tell you this part. I'm switching it up a little bit today.
Ah, wait. Not
yet. So because, you know, the new year is coming up.
Yes.
I'm thinking about the fact that, like, okay, we're going to put this episode out. It's going to be right before Christmas. Merry Christmas if you celebrate.
Merry
happy
Christmas.
Holidays. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes. All the things. So as we're thinking about, like, okay, this new year is coming up, I want us to take some time to just kind of reflect on what are we wanting to take with us into the new year?
Yeah.
What are we kind of hoping to manifest in that time? So yeah, I wanted to kind of pose that question to you and yeah.
I wanted to pose that question to you,
because I wanted to hear about, yeah, what are you wanting to take with you into the new year and what's that look like for you?
My brain has shut down.
Okay.
My brain is literally like, it's, you know, the episode of SpongeBob where they're all running around.
Yeah.
My brain is like, Jesus, what do we want? Okay. I think going into the new year, I think there's definitely an aspect of getting more comfortable in who I am. I feel like the end of this year has been a lot of discovering or getting a deeper understanding of who I am and how I work.
Mm-hmm.
And defining that outside of maybe what society or even the program tells us or what this field wants us to look like. And so allowing myself to define that for myself, getting clear on what I want. Because like tangent, as I was working on my academic goals with our research advisor, we were thinking through and some things came up and then I sat with it and I was like, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, but for me,
I love that,
you know, but for me, it's hard to say that because I have this thing where I do want to do everything, but it's just, it's not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. I think I'm getting comfortable with saying like, it's okay that we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And just being okay with defining success and who I am and what I like on my own without other people's opinions. I think it's a lot about taking it to the next year, taking care of myself on all the levels and just being connected with myself a little bit more. So being more in tune with what I want and my needs.
I love that. I love this emphasis on really like being able to focus on yourself, but really diving into like, okay, what is it that I actually want?
Yeah.
Because like you said, we have so many voices around us always telling us, this is what you need to do. And this is what's important.
Yes.
And this is how this is supposed to look. And it's like, no, it really doesn't have to look like that for me.
It doesn't.
It does not. So I love that for you. I'm glad you felt comfortable with sharing that with us, bringing it to the couch. I thought it'd be nice to have some intentional time of like, what are we wanting to take with us into the new year? I think the end of the year brings so much reflection. I think for myself, I had therapy yesterday and sitting with my therapist, we were talking about, you know, what I brought in for the day. And I started like connecting dots and I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, wait, I was like, things have been like things that I've been telling her on and off for like, I think I've been seeing her for like 2 years at this point. Things I've been telling her on and off for 2 years. And I was like, oh, I don't want to use my voice more. Like I would say that like every so often. I'm like, yeah, I know it's really important for me to use my voice more. And like, actually, like it's something I want to work on.
Yeah.
And then I was like sharing with her, So I shared this with you, and this interaction that I have with someone that I work with.
Oh, right.
And it was a very interesting, it turned into an interesting interaction because of the question I was asked in relation to us talking about decentering men and some of the posts that I've shared on TikTok. And essentially the question they asked me was like, who hurt you? And it was, I remember seeing that question. I was like, huh? Okay. And then when they repeated the question, when I asked, like, oh, I'm cool with answering whatever, whatever, da, 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 can they repeat the question?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, well, I'm going to tell my story.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because I did start the year having a very significant heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent most of the year grieving that and trying to process that and coming to this space where it was like, usually old me would have kind of like laughed it off, tried to make a joke out of it, really like just tried to continue the conversation. And I was like, no, like we're going to disrupt this right now.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to say what it is. Like you asked me the stupid question. I'm sorry if you watch this. We're cool. We just, like, but it's true.
Yeah.
But like you're asking me this question. It's like, no, I'm going to answer it truthfully.
Yeah.
And I'm going to answer it in a way that is vulnerable and is different. And it was like, no, this is something different for me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it gave me a little bit of anxiety after. Yeah. But it was like, no, this is different. This is authentic to me. And I remember telling my therapist this year, like, when people say something kind of offhanded to me, I want to be able to respond with what comes to me authentically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to always feel like I'm freezing up or like I'm trying to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be more authentic in how I respond in letting people know if something hurt me or if I didn't like something or just being able to say more of what comes to my mind. I think something I admire about my mom is she's quick with it.
Yeah.
She, you say something out of left field, she's able to come right back and she's able to do it in such a way that it's like, no, you was wrong. You know you was wrong. You should have said that. And I wanted to be more like that and to be able to do that. But also to be able to see how just being here at Tea and Theory with you and being able to speak and like share parts of my story and share with you. And I was telling my therapist about the TikTok video that I posted that just kind of got out of like good in a good way. It got out of hand. But sharing about and I shared about it on the podcast about my experience with my supervisor and how that was impactful.
Yeah.
Being able to share. And I was like, I'm sitting there connecting dots and I'm like, I've been using my voice. Yes. I was like, I've been sharing.
Yes.
So I want to bring that with me is really getting more comfortable with using my voice and speaking out and really showing up as my authentic self. Because what I told her was like, in doing this, it feels like me. I don't feel like I'm putting on that mask that I used to put on. I don't feel like I'm hiding parts of myself. I feel like who I am here on TN Theory, who is who I am at school, is who I am in our friendship, is who I am at home. Yeah. It's like I'm able to show up as myself in these different spaces and it's consistent. And that has been what I've been working on for so long. So that is what I'm bringing with me.
Not you living. No, but period.
Yes. No, so it feels good to be able to do the things and say the things and be just authentically me.
Yeah. That's really meaningful. And it's great. And I'm glad that you were able to reflect on it because, like, I feel like sometimes, and speaking for you, we'll just be doing stuff and not really take in the time to like praise or congratulate ourselves for making it.
Yeah.
And doing the thing that we've wanted to do for so long.
Yes.
And as like, you know, strong Black women who are working and successful, it's hard to like praise yourself.
It is.
To slow down and like, just be like, wow, I did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because, and there's the expectation that you're always going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like you're going to make it.
Uh-huh.
But we, beyond the expectation, girl, you did it,
girl.
You know what I mean?
Well, we did the thing.
Yeah, I did the thing and I deserve to feel proud and happy. And it needs to be we need to celebrate ourselves for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You should be celebrating yourself for everything. And that's such a big thing for you to be able to recognize, like, I am being authentically me and I am sharing and I don't have to put on this mask because we're so happy to see you. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
I love
that. Thank you. And I'm so excited for you.
thank you. I'm going to come out and be like a new person. Just kidding. Yeah. But I think that's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. We're doing the thing.
We are doing the thing. We are doing the thing and we're crushing it and we're killing it and we're doing it together. And I'm so like blessed to be able to do this journey with you.
Yeah.
And all the things.
So crazy.
And part of me like selfishly wanting to do this and like hear about what you want to do. It's like, what do I get to be a part of? I want a sneak peek.
No, literally. Like, I'm excited for all of this, for all of us. I feel very, I don't know. Things just feel aligned. You
yes,
know what I mean?
I do.
Like, that's so weird. Like, how'd you get in this program like what I did?
You know, like, because it's like we could have ended up in different, and somehow we're still here together. And it's like, oh, this was supposed to happen. Was it a plan?
Hashtag God did.
Oh, won't he do it?
Taha, mashallah.
Yes.
Yes. All of that. But
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, no. So as we are getting ready to wrap this episode up, I challenge you all to also take some moments to be mindful, to really sit and guide yourself through this same type of interaction and activity with yourself, with your friends, with your family, of what are you wanting to bring with you into this next year? Because people talk a lot about what we're leaving, but sometimes we talk about what do we want to bring with us? What went well this year? What have we learned? Or where are we growing that we're like, I want to keep seeing this? So we're challenging you to take that time to do that as the new year is coming up. But as always, we thank you for joining us here on the couch, and we will see you next time. Bye!
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.